Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of worship, and Lord, just watch over this time as we get into your word and talk about the faith that you have through us. Lord, be with Brother Ricky. Speak through him. Give him comfort and peace. We love you. And forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
I attended a chaplain seminar back summer. No, it was, I guess it was November of last year. Don Whitney was the speaker. Don is now associate dean at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. He has a book called Spiritual Discipline for the Christian Life, and that's what he spoke on, how we as chaplains need to be spiritually disciplined. And he said he was writing a new book, and he sent me 100 of them. I have one for each of you today. They're in this box up here. You just come and feel free to take it. It's called Praying the Bible. Now, there's a lot of spiritual disciplines that are writers who are goofy. Amen? Amen. He's not. He's one of the true, genuine guys that you can stake your life on, really. He's really intense, but the books are free. They don't cost you anything. They're right here. All you've got to do is pick one up, and we'll be in good shape. Now then, open your Bible, please, to the book of Romans. I have rewritten this sermon now 3 times. In the last few days, since Friday, in fact. I started out, like you see in the bulletin, with Abraham. I wanted to go in Romans 4, but the more I went into it, the more I studied it through the week, the tougher it was for me to reconcile in my mind and heart that that's where I wanted to go today. And it was not easy. I ended up in chapter 10, which is where we're going to be. So you just got an extra there. That one in the bulletin is just free. Just take it. But we're going to look at the principles of faith. And we're going to talk about why it's important and why it's necessary to have faith and faith alone for salvation. The Bible is very, very clear when it says that we are justified by faith. Our justification, that is our salvation, is based upon faith. Now, we read last week, Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, saved, now get this, unto good works. So there are your 3 prepositions. We are saved by grace, through faith, unto good works. So grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, if you want to make an acronym out of it. Grace is how we're saved, by the grace of God only. And we're saved through faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith, an acronym for faith. How do I get that faith? Is that something that I have to work up? Is it something I have to do? Well, no. We're going to see today through a couple of scriptures that faith, even the faith to trust Jesus, is a gift of God only. Well, where do I come in? You come in after those two functions are effective in your life. You come in after God's grace has picked you out, after God has put faith in your heart to believe, and then you're saved so you can go out and do the work that God wants you to do. We are saved by grace through faith unto good works. That's how it is. And that flies in the face of a whole lot of theologies out in this world. It divides every cult from Christianity because they are sure that you've got to do something in order to be saved. Now, I was up late last night. You may tell by the bags under my eyes and in my belly. I was just, oh. But I was watching Barney Miller. Y'all remember Barney Miller? You don't. Well, you ought to. A guy came into the precinct at the police station at the 12th precinct and said that his wife was going, had taken half of their savings account. He had a savings account book, $7,000 in the book, and she had taken out $3,500, her share. And one of the old guys on there, Fish, who's Abe Vigoda, he said, what's your problem? He said, she's going to go to Saturn. He said, Saturn, Florida? Saturn where? Saturn up there. She had fallen under the spell of a snake oil peddler. And she was totally bamboozled by him. So they said, well, we still don't think there's a problem here. But anyway, they went out and grabbed this guy and brought him into the squad room. And he agreed, yeah, we're going to Saturn. And the ticket is $3,500. Well, how many tickets have you sold? Barney Miller said to him. He said, about 300. Oh. How would people fall for that? I don't know. I guess I could get up here and sell swampland. I know I could sell Peter and Paul salt shakers. Or end of the world lawn furniture made out of asbestos. It won't burn up. You can keep it forever. So they were going to Saturn. There are a lot of people who are following that kind of thinking in churches and in cults and in different denominations, all up one side and down the other. When God tells us in His Word that we are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. And if we are saved by grace, it's faith that makes God's grace available. We have to have that kind of faith. Now, if you want to be saved, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How are you justified? How are you made and declared holy? By the faith that God gives you. You can't sit back and double up your fist and scream to heaven and say, God, I have faith. You have to save me. That doesn't work. We're saved by grace through the faith that God gives us. You want to be saved? You're justified only by faith. You want to be sanctified? Listen to this. Sanctifying our hearts through faith. You want your prayers answered? Listen to Mark 11. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We do it by faith. We pray through faith. 1 John 5. We overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So for me, whether I'm a young, good-looking young man, you're three? Are you three or four? You're five. You're not seven. Okay, you're three or five. Okay. Or whether you're a sweet, precious young girl back here, you're saved because God has shown grace to you and God has imparted faith to you so that your hand of faith reaches up to God's hand of grace and you are saved. But you can't just do it alone. But we're going to get to that here in a minute. Unbelief is a horrible, horrible thing. I want you to look with me, starting in verse 17. Is that the first thing I've got? Oh, I've got Galatians in there. Well, jump over that. Faith, now hang on to this. So I'm going to say this 8 or 10 times today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. When you come to faith, you hear the Word. You've got to know the Word of God. Be it according to your faith, Matthew said, or Jesus told the young man who came to him. He said, Master, you've got to heal my daughter. I believe you can, but I'm under authority just like you're under authority. Rome tells me what to do. God tells you what to do. But you can say the word and she'll be healed. And guess what? Jesus said to him, according to your faith, it shall be done. And it was. The Lord has dealt to every man, Romans 12:3, a measure of faith. For by the grace given to me, now Paul's writing, he's coming to the close of his book, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, don't you dare stand back and say, God, I'm special. You've got to bless me. That's not what we do. We think with sober judgment. Each, that's individually you, each of you, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. In other words, God has to give me the faith to receive His grace. I can't muster it up. I just can't do it. And the opposite of faith is not just not believing, it's total unbelief, and it's terrible. It's a horrible sin. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. In other words, if we don't believe what God's Word says, one of us is a liar. Now who do you think it's going to be? Me or God? Well, it would be me. If I don't believe God. We've got a new space telescope flying out there called the James Webb Telescope. It is able to see farther back than anybody could ever see because it is dynamically geared to watch infrared. And what they hoped to find was evidence of the Big Bang Theory. You know what they found? Evidence that the Big Bang Theory is goofy. They're finding galaxies that we've never seen before that are young and old in the same time period. Now, what does that do to the evolutionists? There was one paper written that had one title on it, one word title, panic. Because they can determine that the red shift, it's kind of like the when you hear a train coming. It's called the Doppler effect, right? We can see planets moving in infrared by how their red shift is. Now, that's more science than you ever wanted to know, I'm sure. But what it's proving is that the Big Bang Theory never happened. And they're getting back to a 6,000 or 7,000-year-old Earth because we're seeing new galaxies and old galaxies in the same time frame, and people are sitting back scratching their head because they won't accept what God says. So here's my question. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen or no? Amen. God is true. And when God said, let there be light, there was light. When God said, let us make man in our image, He was talking cumulative, showing the Trinity. And God's word is clear. The just shall live by faith. That's how we do it. Now, when we look at unbelief, it was unbelief that led Eve to sin in the garden, and Adam with her. He was just stupid. He figured that there was power in numbers, and if he had just followed that good-looking chick over here, that God would bless him. Well, boy, did he mess up on that one. It was unbelief that locked the doors of the promised land. 12 spies went in. 10 came back. We can't do it. 2 of them said, yeah, we can. Guess which 2 was allowed to enter the promised land? Caleb and Joshua. Listen, believe God. He gives a measure of faith to each of us. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And there's some people who will tell you that Jesus only died for a few of us. That is so not right. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. Jesus died. Salvation is there. Whosoever will may come. You've never trusted Jesus. You're watching on the internet. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, you have the privilege right now, whether you're watching on tape delay or you're watching us live. Those of you here in the congregation, whether you are saved or not, you can know Jesus today, because if you choose to believe that Jesus Christ died at the cross, that He was buried, that He rose from the dead, and He stands ready to receive anyone who will come, God will give you a measure of faith to accept the grace that will get you saved today, right now, the authority of the Word of God. What's the object of that faith? Well, it's got to be God. The object of the faith has to be God. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him, in Romans 10:11, underscore the Him, on Him, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. You want to believe in Christ? You can. He is the object of our faith. You say, well, faith can move mountains. No, it can't. God moves the mountains as you have faith in God. We tend to get things a little bit backward, and we can't afford to do that. It's God that moves mountains. It's Jesus who says, have faith in God. There was a little boy who came home from school, and his dad said, son, how'd you do on the test today? Well, I think I flunked the math test. Dad said, son, you need to have a very positive attitude. You studied hard. You need to be positive. He said, okay, Dad, you're right. I'm positive I flunked the test. I know I did. Julie's been tutoring the twins, the Biggs, and they had a big math test this week. They think they passed. They won't know till Monday when the teacher gets back. But positive thinking, people, is not faith. You hear that? Positive thinking is not faith. Though what do you hear on TV? If you believe it, you can achieve it. I believe that I can be an NBA basketball player. Is that foolish or what? I believe that I can still play football. No way. I nearly fell off my own bathtub rail the other day. I've got to put up a swing outside. And I got up on that two-step ladder, and I had to catch myself. My wife fussed at me. We'll get our son-in-law to come do it. So, okay, I may get Brad to come put it up. But we're going to find somebody else besides Ricky. Now listen, your faith is no better than the object of that faith. Do you hear that? Your faith is no better than the object of your faith. You say, but I have just a little faith. If your object is in God, that's all you need. Now you can keep saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Keep strengthening me in faith. I want to be strong in faith. But a weak faith in God is better than a strong faith in anything else. We have to have faith in God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we are looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see that? Our faith is looking to the object of our faith, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter. Or your King James may have a little bit different wording, but it's still the same thing. Don't look to others. Look to Jesus. Don't look at yourself. Look to Christ. Don't look at circumstances around you. Look off to Jesus. Don't look at the old devil. I had a girl come in the office the other day and wanted some holy water. I said, why? Well, I need blessing. I need holy water. Because I'm having bad thoughts. I saw her one day up on the floor. She had a Bible that was on top of her head. Just like that right there. I said, now what are you doing with that Bible on top of your head? She said, I'm hoping the Word of God will get in my brain. That's the truth. Folks, the Word of God doesn't get in your brain through here. It gets in your brain through here. You read the Word of God and the Word of God will infiltrate your soul. I didn't give her any holy water. We don't have any in our Baptist group. But I had some oil. I had some little olive oil in a little old container, and I dabbled her head and her hands and said a blessing over her, and I said, now go and sin no more. And she said, what does that mean? I said, just think about it. People, the object of our faith is God. Our ambition should be to know God. In fact, we must know Him. A few verses. Psalm 9:10. They that know thy name, the character of God, will put their trust in thee. Daniel 11:32. And they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Romans 10:11, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Listen, people, our object is God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So that brings me to my second point. While I take a sip of water. I used to just bounce when I'd get excited. Now I strain my throat. The origin of our faith is found in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. That's the origin. I cannot generate faith. I wish I could, but I can't. I can only respond to the measure of faith that Christ has given me. I have to follow Him as He leads me. It has to be that way. If it's any other way, it's not by faith alone. By faith alone. Now, there are times when you have faith that is non-biblical faith. Now, it's not opposed to the Bible, but you do have faith. Let me explain. You put your faith in that chair when you sat down today. You had enough faith that the construction company built it according to the engineering specs, and that that chair would contain your weight. It would hold you. It would not fall. You had faith that the chair would hold you up. You go to a restaurant. You have faith that they prepare that food properly. You have faith that it was served correctly. You have faith, and you live by faith every day. For those of you who may be having marital problems, we're not. So Julie will know I'm paying attention. We're not. But I wouldn't dare eat what she had cooked if she was really, really, really mad at me and knew that I was worth more dead than alive with insurance and all. You have to have faith every time you eat. You have faith every time you get in your car and drive down the highway, faith that some other knucklehead is not going to come over in your lane and kill you dead. Listen, faith is all around us, but when we start talking about biblical faith, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those, get it, who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are given the faith to believe. You don't generate it. You don't manufacture it. You don't dig it from a deep well and hold it in your pocket. God gives you that faith. Those of you who've obtained like precious faith. Philippians chapter 1, 29. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You'll say, well, what do I have to do? You simply respond to the faith God gives you in the grace that God bestows upon you. And it's not your doing. You know, Jesus said the Spirit will not always strive with man. The Bible teaches very clearly that there comes a point when you cannot just stand up and say, okay, God, I'm 74, nearly 74 years old. I think I'll trust you today. You can't do that. You have to be called by the power of God. You have to be infused with enough faith to believe the grace of God is given to you. And by that, I'm simply saying you have to have a bedrock assurance in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11. You've heard this one, I think. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We have a new cafeteria down in our up there in our hospital, and they had two ice machines on either side. They had a tea pitcher here, big old tea cooker and all kinds of condiments and stuff. For nearly 7 months, the ice machine did not work. Didn't work. So I went in there and I wrote KJV, King James Version, Hebrews 11, 1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And somebody back came back and wrote under that, we don't understand. So I explained it. This ice machine right here is the substance of things hoped for. I hope I have ice when I punch that button. But it's also the evidence of things not seen. Ice no comey. Ice no there. It doesn't come out. It's broken. Well, they finally broke down and bought two brand new ice machines. Put one on this end, one on that end. And on the second day, there was a sign right there on it, out of order. I got a picture. Sometimes it just doesn't pay to go with a low bidder. But I want you to see this. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, brethren, hope is not like you hear it spoken of in our world today. Oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. Little monkey found a bag, paper bag. And he picked it up and he said, Nanners, I hope. Stuck his hand in there and said, garbage, I reckon. No banana in the bag. That's hope. I hope I get a banana. I hope I pick the right number. I hope I choose the right wife. I hope, I hope, I hope. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is bedrock assurance. It's a guarantee. It's a confidence. I know that I know that I know. I have hope completely that I've heard from God. I want you to pray. Help me not to hear Ricky today, but to hear you, God. I want to hear God. Not necessarily I don't want to know about Him. For faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the Word of God. I want to hear God. You'll say, well, Ricky, has God ever spoken to you? Not necessarily in an audible voice. Many times it's much louder than that. In a youth rally in Westminster, Texas, I knew God was speaking. I didn't know what He wanted. But I knew God was calling me for something. And right there in that youth rally on a pair of crutches because I'd messed up my ankle in football, I hobbled down the front of that youth rally and committed my life to Christ. That was 1962. Now, since I don't do math in public, somebody tell me how long ago that was. 60 years. There you go. And I remember hobbling down that little old church as clearly as I can see it today. It wasn't but just a few months later that I made that same trip in my home church and the pastor licensed me to the gospel ministry in 1963. Royce Measures heard that there was a young preacher and he asked me to do a weekend revival August the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1963. Ricky Russell, some of you may know the Russells that had the laundromat up here by King Memorial. Ricky Russell was their son. He led the music in that revival. And I remember what I preached. I didn't even look this up. The first message was on John 3:16. The next message was from 1 John. And the third message was from Philippians. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, that I want to know Him. And my heart was on fire for that. I did not hope that I'd be a preacher someday. I knew it. I did not hope that I would see people come to Christ. I knew it. My job is to get you to listen to God as God speaks to you, as God spoke to me, not necessarily in an audible voice, but much louder than that. And He has. The Bible says in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Folks, the origin of faith is in God alone. God alone. When Jesus took that Last Supper, He, whether you recognized it or not, commanded that they have confident expectation in hope. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. For I'm not going to take this meal again until I take it with you in the kingdom of heaven. Folks, what we are about to do with the Lord's Supper is take a moment of faith, knowing that the bread that we will consume is His body that was given for us, knowing that the liquid that we will consume is a symbol of His blood. And we are here today to do this very thing. Mike, Victor, would you come help him, please? You see, there is a fountain filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And then the Lord took the cup and he drank from it and he had a prayer and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." Now don't leave, but we're going to stand and sing "Amazing Grace." And I want you to thank our young piano player, who's done a great job today. Let's sing it together, shall we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, my shining as the sun, we've no less days to see God's plan than when we first began. Thank you. Would you be seated, please?